Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Alliance Grain Traders conference call, which is being convened to present third quarter 2010 results to shareholders. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touch-tone phone. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omar Al-Khatib, Director of Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, and welcome to our third quarter conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaitan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-GAAP financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as our reconciliation to GAAP measures, we direct you to our news release and our recent filings on SEDAR. I'll now turn things over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions.
Thank you, Omar. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the Alliance Grain Traders third quarter conference call. We appreciate the opportunity to discuss the results of our company, as well as the opportunities that lie ahead. Third quarter 2010 has continued with the weather and timing-related challenges we have seen through this season. These factors, while certainly not ideal, are a reality given the weather and environmental variables in the agriculture sector. The third quarter is traditionally a strong period for shipments of Canadian and U.S. new crop products from fall harvest season. This year, with the record production volumes estimated, we expected it to be no different. However, as weather hindered our performance in the last quarter, it again compounded timing issues related to sales and shipments in this quarter. I would like to share with you some of the challenges, what they mean for the current quarter, and the optimism we have to address some of these challenges. Ultimately, we look at them as ways to create opportunities in the balance of this year and into 2011. The heavy rainfall and cool conditions dramatically slowed Canadian harvest progress. By late September, a period when pulse crop harvest is traditionally completed, farmers were less than half completed with their harvest. Better weather through the early to mid-October period did assist farmers in rapidly completing their harvest activities, but the late availability of new crop products contributed to lower reported results than we've traditionally seen. Simply put, lower volume of product to process and ship means lower sales volumes. In quarter two, we spoke about customers postponing their purchase decisions to replenish depleted or near depleted local market stocks in a market of declining prices and good supply. Our expectation was for a record harvest in Canada and the U.S. after a normalization of production in Turkey. Factors such as the heavy rainfall and overall diminishing supply seen in Western Canada and the Northern Plains states impacted our ability to bring what product was available into our facilities for processing. We believed buyers were hesitating to buy and that farmers were occupied by concerns over the wet conditions and the impact it would have on their crops. They were not delivering grain. What we saw in the third quarter was a continuation of similar themes caused by a damp, cold, and late harvest. Continued estimated record production levels were still being reported, and from the quantity of product moving into our facilities across Western Canada and the Northern Plains states, these reports seemed to be correct. However, buyers continued to delay purchases this time, we believe based on concerns surrounding the quality variance on Canadian new crop products. Farmers were unable to harvest or deliver in-stock product to our facilities with the cold, damp weather while they waited for windows of good weather to continue their harvest activities. U.S. harvest completed in mid-September was somewhat immune to these issues, and deliveries to our facilities and outgoing shipments continued as we would have expected. However, even with the record production in the U.S., Canada is a key component of our global business. Ultimately, these factors led to lower North American origin sales and erosion of earnings from our value-added pulse and staple food business in the quarter. Our operations in Turkey supplied Turkish market demand and shipments to fill some of the demand in end-use markets. Our Australian operations are readying for what we hope will be a significant new crop harvest, the first in a number of years there, but all focuses on what we deliver for the balance of the year from our North American operations. Let me first say we are optimistic about the balance of 2010 and early 2011 and our ability to overcome the timing-related issues we have been experiencing through much of this year. There is a near-record crop and supply in Canada and the U.S., quality variance that we feel increases more opportunity for AGT and value-added processing, and very significant volumes nonetheless. Our facilities in Canada, the U.S., and Australia are well-equipped with the completion of capital expansion projects that we are confident will provide immediate benefits, and we're optimistic about the balance of the year and our ability to develop sales opportunities in all four of our core staple food platforms from our global operations. While we reported higher sales of $137.6 million in this quarter compared to last quarter three in 2009, we reported adjusted EBITDA of $5.2 million, down from $8.3 million in the same quarter in 2009. Adjusted net income reported was down at $0.73 million from $4.5 million. All of our third quarter financial results and notes, of course, have been filed on SEDAR, and with the timing issues are available immediately on our website at www.alliancegrain.com. Earlier in the year, we stated that these factors have impacted the previous quarter, diminishing as the year 2010 progressed and the year 2011 will begin. We still feel this is the case. The weather-related issues really come down to timing. Demand is there, supply is now there, and opportunities are there, and AGT is positioned to capitalize on these opportunities that will present going forward in the year. I'd like to now call on our CFO, Lori Ireland, to give us a short overview of our financial results. So, Lori?
Thanks, Brad. Delays in the Canadian harvest significantly affected sales volumes during the quarter, as can be seen by sales of $137.6 million for the third quarter compared to second quarter sales of $149.2 million. Gross margin as a percentage of sales increased from 7.3% for the second quarter to 10.3% for the third quarter, but this increase was offset by lower volumes in Canada and the U.S. The result was a decrease in adjusted earnings per share. Sales mix changed from 83% pulses, 6% pasta, and 11% rice for the second quarter to 76% pulses, 14% pasta, 6% rice, and 4% other commodities in the third quarter. Second quarter is typically a ramping up period for pasta, and this is demonstrated by the increase in pasta sales of 8% for the quarter. Other commodities, such as sunflower seeds and popcorn, are sold to capitalize on additional cross-selling opportunities within our Turkish distribution channels. Sales to Europe, Middle East, North Africa increased from quarter two to quarter three, and sales to the Americas, Caribbean, and to the Asia-Pacific Rim decreased. The non-cash foreign exchange adjustment swung from a loss of $5.2 million at the end of quarter two to a gain of $296,000 at the end of quarter three. This non-cash adjustment is a snapshot of all open foreign exchange contracts, accounts receivable, accounts payable, and loans. Both the Canadian dollar and the Turkish lira appreciated from quarter two to quarter three, with the Turkish lira appreciating significantly from 0.66 to 0.71 versus the Canadian dollar. General and administrative costs have increased over the same period last year due to acquisitions such as those of the Arbel Group, Perrant Seed, and Finora. For example, additional land taxes and insurance amounted to $1 million, commissions $1.6 million, payroll costs relating to newly acquired companies, $1.2 million, advertising and promotional and travel and trade show costs, $1.5 million, and transportation, export, and harbor costs, $2.3 million. With multiple acquisitions in the past 9 months, we are currently reviewing the subsidiary classification of all G&A costs. We are developing a methodology for implementation effective January 1, 2011, to ensure consistency in the treatment of general and administrative expenses versus expenses related to cost of sales across all subsidiaries. AGT management is continuing to look at all areas of operations for potential cost reduction and synergy savings that may result from acquisitions, scale of operations, and business combinations. Looking at the balance sheet, accounts receivable as at September 30, 2010 was $96.3 million compared to $89 million at December and $94 million in June. The increase from December and from June is due to a shift in payment terms based on markets being shipped to. During the quarter, a larger percentage of sales were shipped on cash against documents basis, which results in a longer period of time between invoice issuing and receipt of payment. Slower accounts receivable collection for the quarter was partially offset by the lower volumes, resulting in a similar balance from June to September 2010. Accounts receivable balances have been reviewed, and management is quite comfortable that any provisions required have been taken. We saw inventory increase in the third quarter from $86.3 million in June to $99.8 million in September. Raw product increased $2.4 million and processed product increased $18.9 million. Inventory of other products increased slightly and packaged and split product inventory decreased. The increase is a result of the late start to the harvest in product being received and shipped to transloading facilities where revenue will be recognized in the fourth quarter. In addition, product in Turkey is being replenished to prepare for Turkish and regional retail markets. Property, plant, and equipment increased by $14.8 million during the quarter with the building of the rice mill in Turkey and equipment enhancements in Canada, U.S., and Australia. Accounts payable increased from $91 million in June to $96.1 million at September. This is due partially to increased producer deferred checks as the year progresses, as well as additional purchases related to accounts payable as inventory is replenished. Bottom line on financial results is that our volumes in Canada were down. Quarter two was a slow quarter for Canada, and our sales volumes were down over 25% quarter over quarter. I will now turn it over to our COO, Gaetan Bourassa, to give a quick market update.
Thanks, Lori. I would like to take you through a quick discussion on each of our key geographies. I would like to note that references to any statistics discussed can be found in the Outlook section of our third quarter 2010 MD&A. Our North American operations were hindered with major weather events through the spring with very wet weather affecting seeding progress. With the pulse harvest traditionally ending around mid-September, farmers were delayed in their progress because of wet conditions and frost. In a typical year, mid to late September will show near completion of harvest. But with these conditions, we found progress only reaching 43% in this period. We were fortunate that windows of better weather conditions in late September and early October assisted farmers in rapid completion of harvest by mid-October. The wet weather through the whole season also affected our ability to pull grain from 2009 carryover stocks into our facilities throughout Western Canada, ultimately affecting our ability to process products in our plants. This meant less tonnage processed, which translates to less tonnage shipped, impacting our overall sales volumes. We saw this result in our Q2 volumes. However, it continued to impact our volumes in the third quarter as well. September shipping period is traditionally a strong one for Canadian pulses. These weather conditions were felt to a lesser degree in our U.S. operations, with harvest complete there in mid-September period, and farmers delivering product to our North Dakota facility as expected. Overall, we expect the production volumes to deliver one of the largest pulses on harvest on record. Canadian lentil production is estimated at 1.5 million metric ton, with increases in production of virtually all pulses, except peas, which are returning to more historical levels. Some very positive estimates from the U.S. shows record lentil production levels of 655,000 acres, for over 396,000 metric ton of lentil production, and similar trends as Canada, with increases of all pulse production except for peas. These reported acres and production reaffirms our view that the long-term viability of pulse crops business in North America and our expansions and acquisitions in the region. The weather did not just impact ability to deliver grain. The wet condition and frosted harvest has resulted in higher incidence of quality variants and downgrades in available product from Canada and to a lesser degree the U.S. International markets have historically readjusted their buying criteria to match in line with available product with adjusted pricing. However, with blending, color sorting, and splitting technologies in our North American facilities, the quality variants can become an important can become an opportunity to allow for margin gain on the limited quantities of premium product available and all our other grades of pulses as well. Current production samples have been dispatched to our markets at all our major importing markets. It's important to note, however, that the quality variance we see this year is viewed as specific and as something that will not affect our marketing and processing business long term. In Turkey, we are seeing normalization of lentils production reported to 510,000 metric ton. Even with these positive production numbers, Turkey is estimated to continue lentil imports through 2010 to meet domestic demand. Additionally, global markets are looking to Turkey to fill gaps in export shipments in the period between Turkish and Canadian harvest, especially this season with the late harvest in Canada. We continue to estimate that local market stocks and end-use markets are fully or nearly fully depleted, and our Turkish operations provide excellent opportunities for prompt shipment to many of these major markets. Other commodities grown in Turkey that are components of AGT's offering are progressing positively, supporting our view of the opportunities from the Arbel acquisition. Durum wheat production is reported as returning to historical levels of about 2.7 million metric ton, with good growing conditions for the 2010 crop year. Rice paddy production is pegged at about 750,000 metric ton. However, with these production levels, Turkey looks to continue to import rice to meet domestic demand for 2010 and 2011 crop year. This is viewed as positive with respect to our announced construction of a new rice mill in Turkey. Pasta facilities are running at near capacity, which is projected to continue with strong demand for Arbella pasta in the new markets. The announced expansion at our pasta facilities with the commissioning of the fifth pasta line is expected to boost production and support our cross-selling strategy for long and short-cut pasta. We also expect demand for our other milled wheat products like bulgur and semolina in the Turkish domestic market to continue. These reported returns to historical production levels are positive with regard to boosting capacity utilization of our Arbel assets in Turkey, both for domestic and export markets. Short-term price volatility in the end-use markets caused by uncertainty in North American production is expected to lessen with Canadian harvest complete. Australian crop season is reported as progressing well, with generally good moisture conditions and estimates of about 4.7 million acres of pulse reported. Our facility in Victoria has undergone some additional storage enhancements. We have a positive view of the opportunities. The announced acquisition intentions we have for facilities in South Australia will bring the regard to storage, processing, and shipment. Pulse production in India for Kharif season has been reported as up, but accurate and reliable reporting on harvest potential and seeding intentions are difficult to obtain. Based on customer communications and published Indian government estimates, our internal estimates are that the positive demand fundamentals for Indian markets will continue, resulting in imports at similar levels as previous years. The ban on Indian exports and lack of regional competitors is viewed as benefiting AGT with opportunities in the region. We are continuing our investigations for an expanded presence in this important market with warehousing, processing, and distribution. In summary, the demand fundamentals for pulses and staple foods are estimated as strong in virtually every end-use market. Buyers are filling pent-up demand for supply for the new crop products from Canada, but also looking forward to Australia, India, and Turkey. Importers and international buyers must complete buying decisions as stocks are available to bring into market and satisfy consumer demand for pulses, staple foods, and proteins. With harvest in Canada only being substantially complete in the second half of October 2010, there is potential for the remainder of the 2010 to be affected by generally slow post-harvest deliveries caused by growers assessing the quality of their harvested crops and buyers in the world assessing pre-shipment samples that will form the basis for future receipts of Canadian new crop shipments. The market season of Canadian pulses may be slowed for a short period to allow the analysis of the quality parameters by growers, buyers, and sellers, but we reiterate that the effects are timing related and that these issues will work themselves out through the global supply. I'll turn it back over to Murad.
Thanks, Nitin, for the overview. Overall, the factors that would enable us to overcome the challenges and capitalize on opportunities come down to the following. First, the depth of our distribution channels. AGT has always stated that our margins are driven by our ability to find attractive and consistent margin opportunities in all the products we process and ship. There's a significant amount of product supply that's going to be available in the world, particularly Canada, U.S., with record production in lentils, when you combine Canada and U.S. together. There are significant volumes any way you look at it. Poor harvest conditions, however, not only affect the delivery of the volumes, but they also affect the quality of the product. Quality variance and downgrading was more prevalent this year than in other years. The product delivering into our facilities, though, is entirely within management's expectations with regard to quality. It is entirely marketable product and does create opportunities for us to utilize our blending, color sorting, and value-added splitting technologies and processes in our facilities. This is why we equip these facilities with these types of technologies. The quality, location, and efficiency of our facilities will give us an advantage over competitors to maximize sales opportunities. Quality variance requires readjustment in end-use markets to on their expectations of their buying parameters. In past years where quality variance has been seen, similar readjustments have been the norm. Really, this comes down to the fact that the staple food items produced by AGT are need-to-haves. They're not nice-to-haves. People have to eat quality protein. This is their staple protein, and they will buy the best quality foods that are available to them at any given time. Because of this, we see potential for prices for premium quality products that are available to move higher as buyers speculate on the lower availability compared to historical levels. This, too, provides opportunities for margin gains to offset lower fluidity and velocity in our facilities as they deal with the quality variances in delivered products. With these North American results, our Global Pulses business is in a position of strength on a go-forward basis. Turkey has recovered to normalized levels. Australia looks great. Demand in India looks to continue to be strong. These are all positive indicators for the replenishment of global supply and a return to normal supply and export levels. The supplies will find their way into the consumption markets they are destined for, as buyers will have to fill local market demand for pulses and staple foods. Our multi-origin strategy and the quality of our assets were put in place to capitalize on these types of conditions, as well as to protect us from crop shortfalls in the inevitable years that these conditions happen in some regions. The second point that will help us to overcome these issues is the geographic diversity of our assets, as well as the move towards diversity in our offerings. Our core assets in the U.S., Turkey, and Australia help us to offset the challenges faced in Canada with the weather-related harvest issues. An area of growth that will assist AGT in realizing the type of sales results we expect is our investments in other key pulse-growing regions like South Australia, where we clarified the closure of the Balco and Northern York transactions last Friday, and also in China with our acquisition of Portman's and the establishment of the bean facility. A new platform for year-round bean and chickpea business will be a key component as well of growth for our pulses business. Additionally, our announced construction of the new rice processing mill in Turkey and the fifth pasta line will, we feel, further bolster our position in the global bean, rice, and pasta markets. These are all strategic investments. They're part of the pillars of our focus on staple food and provide, in part, our optimism with regard to the positive future effect on our earnings. We feel these investments will also assist in the continued focus on smoothing the seasonality of our current business. I remain unwavering in my commitment to these investments and these pillars. The final factor in our processing, I just want to draw your attention to is our processing expertise and the depth of our management team. We've always been focused on strategic acquisitions to support our global sales activity. The facilities we operate around the globe are modern, state-of-the-art, and well-situated close to key growing areas and freight handling. This is a key component in years of quality variance, such as we're seeing in Canada, where the ability to maximize the margin opportunity is needed through blending, color sorting, and splitting. It is also needed when significant crop volumes are potentially available, as forecast in the Australia and in the U.S. These conditions require experienced management who have seen these types of situations in the past and who have been successful in navigating through these issues to see and capture the opportunity. We feel AGT is in a position of strength with regards to our competitors, as I mentioned earlier, both globally and regionally, and we will execute on opportunities in all market segments. The demand profile is strong, supply is high, local market stocks remain low. These factors taken together in combination provide the opportunity to drive our global capacity and execute our sales plan. Continued growth in Turkey, the completion of the integration of Arbel's close proximity to Middle East, North African markets, and the continued growth of non-traditional pulse markets in North America, such as the chickpea demand in hummus, beans, year-round consumption. These are all drivers for our business going forward. Let's not forget Gaetan's comments about the Indian subcontinent demand. We feel it's going to continue to be high with the supply-demand gap widening as we move into future years of production. The agricultural sector does bring challenges potentially not faced by other sectors. However, with strong experience management, well-located and well-equipped facilities, and continued robust demand, the challenges ahead of us will provide the basis for our continued growth plans we have established, and we'll continue down the same path. It's the right path. I thank you for your interest in AGT. I'm joined by the other members of my executive management team. We'd be pleased to answer some questions.
Thanks, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does not allow for a response to all of the questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question is from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes,
good morning.
Mr. Winslow, go ahead, please.
Great, thanks. Given your global diversification, the strategy you've been unveiling now for several quarters, I was surprised to see the magnitude of the impact in this quarter, which I think we all anticipated to be quite soft, but it was the magnitude that caught me a little bit off guard. I wonder if you could tell us, please, what the Turkey EBITDA was in the quarter in relation to Canada. Did we have negative EBITDA in Canada, I guess, this quarter?
First thing is that we don't segment out the EBITDA by geography. We don't report that, Robert, quarter to quarter. But what I will tell you is that the results were certainly magnified because of the magnitude of the weather events. I mean, we got hit with not only significant delays in the harvesting, but because of the severity of the rain in certain geographies within Western Canada, product deliveries were also hampered of the products that were harvested at the time. And, for any of you who are familiar with the psyche of farmers in any jurisdiction of the world, not just in Canada, when you are faced with, the risk of substantial loss of your entire crop due to a weather event, you are not marketing the crop that's in your silos. You are spending every available moment on a tractor, in a harvester, trying to get your crop off. And so what we found is, with the magnitude of this weather event, deliveries were hampered, production was hampered, all of those things were certainly there. We couldn't even utilize carryout stocks and weather that storm. The Canadian earnings, I can tell you, were not negative, but they certainly were not... very positive this quarter. I mean, for us to tell you that the one thing in Lori's summary was quarter two was slow, quarter three in North America was 25% less volume than quarter two, shows you the magnitude of what we faced.
Okay.
In Turkey, volumes did ramp up starting, into July, August. But, with the magnitude of the weather events in Canada, prices in Turkey were volatile. And the volatility of pricing and the fact that it's a physical goods market and not one where you can go out and buy from farmers in the fields and things like we do in Canada, with price volatility comes the risk of temporary margin erosion. And we did see some of those effects at parts throughout the quarter. So overall, you ended up with a much more significant impact of the weather event. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
Temporary timing effects.
You don't segment by geography, but maybe let me ask that question a different way. Then is can you give us a sense of what the trailing 12-month EBITDA is for Turkey? Is it on track with the 25 or so million that you'd anticipated when you made the acquisition?
I mean, none of our earnings for this year are on track with our projected. So Turkey is running the same type of scenario. These markets are not segmented by geography where one, you know, necessarily has escaped the effects of, you know, a very, you know, significant transitional year in our sector. I mean, we've talked about weather volatility affecting the demand profile on a temporary basis, causing timing effects. Turkey's seen the same type of timing effects. Do we see these as fundamental, you know, changes to our, you know, earnings forecasts going forward? Absolutely not. I used about the strongest words I could, Robert. I'm unwavering in my commitment to the strategy, and I'm unwavering in my commitment to the moves that we're making to build out this geographic diversity strategy.
Got it. Thank you.
The next question comes from Max Vishnikov of Octagon Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Go ahead, please.
Guys, how would you describe your current throughput in your processing plant? Is that satisfactory or below historical average? Like, can you give us some color on that?
Are you talking about currently as of today?
As of today, yeah.
As of today, I would say that, you know, product is being delivered into facilities now. The quality has been assessed, and, you know, we're seeing a return to normal processing, you know, activities. Still, obviously, a bit of a slow start to the harvest season because of the delay, but we are, you know, seeing a return to throughput through our facilities.
So the historical, okay, great. And Murad, in terms of quality, what do you see in terms of quality, actually, of the crops, of the harvested crops?
Quality of the crop is as per our expectations. We were expecting a variable crop. I think that probably, let me adjust that statement a bit. Probably a slightly higher percentage in the lower two grades,
mm-hmm.
number threes, extra threes, compared to number two and number one. So maybe a little bit worse than what we had expected, but, you know, much of the crop is marketable quality. We'll be using our technologies to be able to ensure that the products do meet the customer expectations. And you need to recognize one thing. It's all about, you know, a lot of the raw materials we handle, let's say red lentils, for instance, one of our biggest products, it's all about the conversion of a sub-quality product into split lentils around the world. And at what conversion you can do that dictates the price. All of these stocks are marketable. And with the depth of our distribution channels, we'll find markets and we'll make our margin. That's the position.
Okay, got it. And one quick question for Lori, probably. On general administrative expenses, $10 million, is that sort of like a level we should expect going forward, or is just the one quarter we see a little bit of a spike there?
Well, as I mentioned in my summary, we're going to be going through the costs in detail and doing some reallocating, so I don't think that a $10 million would be a go-forward number to use.
Mm-hmm.
With IFRS, we have to revamp a lot of our expenses in our income statement. So we thought that January 1st, 2011 would be a great time to look at all the subsidiaries and figure out what should be in general admin, what should be in selling, what should be in cost of goods sold, et cetera. So probably the short answer is no, that won't be a go forward number.
Won't be repetitive. Got it. Okay, thank you. I'll jump back in the queue.
The next question is from Christine Healy of Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Yes, Ms. Healy, go ahead, please.
First question is on your margins. If we look into Q4 and into 2011, can you give us some kind of sense as to how much higher we can expect your margins per ton to be? Are we looking at, you know, back to the 2008 level or potentially higher than that?
I think, you know, there's a couple of answers to that question. I mean, you know, we're certainly expecting, you know, the quality variance will certainly affect our throughput to our facilities. But, you know, when we're talking about buying a product that is at a lower quality and converting it into a product that's a higher margin product, then, you know, you'll have an offsetting effect of lower throughput to higher margin. And so, you know, from that perspective, I mean, you know, management expectations today are that we'll be successful in our attempts to have that wash out in terms of our overall results. And, you know, our margin profile over the last couple of quarters is not what we have, you know, projected as a normal margin profile. We did see an improvement in the quarter three in terms of a, you know, gross margin percentage quarter over quarter with a return to more of our normal products. So we were doing more of our lentils, chickpeas, beans, split peas, value-added peas, and less commodity-type peas. And so from that perspective, you saw, I think it went from around 7.2 up to about 10.3 or something. And so, but again, it, you know, this game is margin, but it's also a volume game. I mean, we need the facilities to be running the throughput to be able to deliver the type of earnings that we expect.
Okay, but you were saying to Max that the throughput's now increased. You're getting deliveries from farmers. The facilities are running fairly well right now. So assuming that that continues for the next couple of months, can we assume that your margins are going to be above average and maybe go back to 2008 levels? Is that safe to assume?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously our expectations. I mean, you would expect that off-grade product can run 10 to 15% slower through our system.
Mm-hmm.
So that we end up in a position where you have to ensure that you have a margin that compensates. I mean, we run our facilities on a revenue per hour basis. So it's not about margin per ton.
Yep.
So when we have slower throughput, we expect higher margins. We attempt to differentiate the products and find market segments that accept that into that margin profile. And so, you know, from that perspective, we end up in a position where we're able to deliver our results, and that's what we expect going forward. There are, you know, fairly significant spreads between the different grades of commodity. And so when we look at number three lentils versus a number one lentil, there's a very significant grade spread between them. If we can take number three and create extra three, we create margin. And that's what we do with the technologies that we have in our factories. So, you know, again, when I use terms like, you know what, we're committed to the continued growth of our processing platforms, years like this confirm our investment in technologies. I mean, in our Canadian operation alone, we added five Sortec Z4 Plus color sorting lines this year. And I can tell you guys that management that waits for a quality variance doesn't have the ability to react. These were not added post-harvest. These types of additions take 3 months of planning and 3 to 4 months of implementation. And these were commissioned and in place for new crop harvest. So, you know, some would consider us lucky. I consider us forward-thinking.
Okay. Now let's look at StatsCan. You know, their last estimate for lentil production in Canada was about 1.5 million tons, so flat with last year. Now, me personally, I don't have a lot of confidence in that number, just given that StatsCan surveyed the farmers the first week of September. So, you know, the harvest was only about 20% complete at that time. Now, what is your sense on how much is the lentil production in Canada this year? Is that 1.5 million tons realistic? Is it higher than that? What's your view?
I mean, you know, it's very tough to give any kind of a definitive view of the production. I will tell you that, you know, if you look at historical levels, we look at the historical performance, sorry, of Statistics Canada data, and I believe 4 of the past 5 years, we've ended up going into negative stocks of lentils as a result of their inability to peg the exact number of yield. For us, you know, anecdotally, we continue to hear independent analyst reports of higher canola yields than expected, higher cereal yields than expected. So there's no reason to assume that lentils underperform. In fact, they usually perform at or higher than some of those crops. And the frost effects on lentils, remember, cold weather acts as a desiccant. And a desiccant means these are continually growing crops. They need to be killed prior to harvest. So the frost can affect lentils less than it can affect canola and other crops. So that's a long answer to a short question. We think there's potential, Christine, that yields could come in higher than the statistical, you know, figure today. So, you know, with higher acreage, and I mean, we look at the 2009 statistics, 1,387 pounds, this year down to 1,127, pretty far drop off in yield. We'll be, you know, very surprised if the carryout stocks aren't a little bit higher.
Okay, so in short answer, then you think that StatsCan's number is low and that the production will come in higher than what they're looking for?
I'm saying there's potential that there's more production there than statistically accounted for today.
Okay, so if that is the case, then should we see more lentil supply going into Q2, Q3 so that we don't run into this situation again where there's, you know, no supply and it's, you know, difficult for you to get?
We are expecting. I mean, listen, timing effects mean it times out of one quarter into future quarters. So, you know, while we cannot gain back all of the lost sales that are, account from losing 4 or 5 weeks of production, there's certainly a positive effect on supply in go-forward quarters. We are not expecting, you know, the sellout of the Canadian pulses harvest in 2011 to not allow us to bridge to a new crop. That's not our expectation. On the other hand, if demand is really, you know, affected by a weather event in India, let's say, you know, we still could be faced with that, but that'll be positive for quarter one, quarter two, there's no doubt. So supply will spread into the period where we've been scratching the surface trying to find stuff to do.
So we could see less seasonality in earnings next year going forward.
You know, the whole goal of our investment strategy and growth strategy is to see alternate geographies to smooth the seasonality. And, you know, I think that people shouldn't lose sight of the fact that only 1 year ago we did the transformational acquisition of Arbel, and that was the baseline of building a platform, which was a multi-year geographic diversification and product diversification strategy. We will smooth the seasonality through these moves.
Okay, one last quick question. I know that in Turkey the farmers are right now planting again. What's your expectations for lentil acreage in Turkey? Are you expecting it to be average?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question no one would have the answer for yet, but there's no reason to assume a difference. Prices have performed well, and prices in Turkey have been higher than anyone's expectations. So, you know, when we do look at, you know, let's say, you know, some of the statistical data, you know, there's still a forecast that acreage in Turkey will be very similar to the last season.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's it for me.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes,
good morning.
Mr. Robinson, go ahead, please.
Good morning. In previous calls, you've provided some detail on the utilization, either on a system-wide basis or, you know, in Turkey and the rest of the business. Can you provide some color on that now?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I can tell you that, as we said, seasonal utilization in quarter two was at a low level, and we've indicated to you that our quarter three utilization was 25% below that. So you can, you know, take a guess from all of those, you know, indications, Mark, that the utilization in Canada was significantly below our two-thirds utilization that we'd been running in normalized, you know, crop periods. So, you know, while we saw a recovery of the Turkish utilization getting more up to that, you know, mid-30s to 40% utilization that we've been targeting in the pulses business, pastas, of course, continuing to run at high utilizations. Rice sector in quarter three runs at nearly no utilization because you are transitioning from an old crop to new crop paddy rice, and arrivals from the U.S. haven't started to arrive into Turkey yet from the 2010 U.S. rice harvest. So, you know, with that, generally utilizations were down to this would be one of our lowest levels of utilization across the platform. Even when we look at the historical utilizations of the companies we acquired. So, but again, temporary timing effects, we'll get back to utilization from now on.
And with a delay, it sounds like, in some of the shipping in Q4 out of North America, would that mean that the utilization in Turkey would continue to be strong through Q4?
I mean, Q4, yeah, Turkey and North America in that regard aren't necessarily so connected, although I guess Turkey is making up some of the shortfalls from Canada. They've had good shipping. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is my comments about Q4, don't take them the wrong way. It's a timing effect. You cannot expect, when you had harvest only completed on the 14th of October, that, you know, full utilization is going to be taking place in the first few weeks of the quarter. So, you know, if you want to focus on 3 or 4 weeks of the quarter, deliveries were slower. You know, do we think that that's fundamental to anything we're doing from today forward? Absolutely not.
Okay. So just to get back to that G&A line, which I don't want to harp on, but it was a little bit higher than I thought, and the reallocating issue really is more just moving the number around.
That's a moving issue. You know what? More utilization means more expenses, right? We've got some of those expenses. The reason we brought up the classification is it's not getting rid of expenses. It's just moving them around from general administrative. As you acquire companies, you end up in a position where reporting by subsidiary and grouping of expense categories, at some point you have to standardize them across your platform. You know, what we're saying is, yes, some of the G&A expenses we'd like to actually allocate into selling and marketing expenses, some into cost of sales. So we'll end up giving you a bit more guidance coming up in quarter one as to what we think a sustainable level is. You know, the G&A expenses are not above my expectations. We have a much bigger platform, and we're ramping it up. From that perspective, going forward, those expenses will be reoccurring.
And so really where I was going with that was just around the realized synergies from the Arbel deal, whether you indeed have seen some meaningful synergies and whether we could expect to see, you know, some further synergies there, just some commentary on how that's played out.
In general, there will be synergies from the growth of the global platform. I mean, this is one of Lori's comments, I think, was something along the lines of we continue to examine cost, you know, areas whereby we can gain, you know, cost advantages from the scale and the overall platform. So part of tuning this business, Mark, is to ensure we deliver those. And there will be freight savings, option origin, you know, contracting, which will create margin opportunities, and, you know, global marketing, you know, prowess that we're acquiring through things like the Portman's acquisition, give us a platform from which to drive utilization of our assets. All of those things will end up leading to a lower cost of general administrative expenses per metric ton handled. And that's the key measurable for me. You ramp up utilization, your cost per ton goes down. Your margins go up, you have a higher free cash flow. That's the game, and that's what we'll look to achieve.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Keith Carpenter of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Carpenter, go ahead, please.
I've got a couple of follow-up questions to questions that were asked, and obviously don't want to belabor this point, but I have to for a minute. The G&A in following Q2 being about $7.5 million, I had asked whether or not that should be a roughly a number we should look at going forward, and then assuming, of course, M&A activity from that date on. And I think why everybody's asking that question is if we were, just as an example, if we were to throw $10.5 million, if people had assumed that number going forward plus M&A after that, if we just were to throw in this number as a go forward, then everybody's EBITDA is going to get hit by $10 million. I think that's what everybody's trying to hammer down. Is that a $7.5 million on a normalized basis going forward plus M&A since Q2, or how should we think of that number in our models going forward?
You could probably think of it as, you know, the $7.5 million staying in the G&A or some sort of below-the-line category. You know, maybe $3 million of it might be moved up to cost of sales.
But in
that
the...
adjusts for M&A activity.
Okay, but if we look at the past, then G&A increased by $3 million over the previous quarter, and that actually, regardless of where it goes, that's actually an increased run rate of $3 million. Is that the way we should look at that?
It is an increased run rate of $3 million, but, you know, of course, when you ramp up your utilization and your tons, then, you know, the effect of that isn't necessarily going to be the whole amount coming off of your earnings if there's a fixed cost component to that.
No, understood. And then just following on comments of, you know, the opportunities that you guys have on margin expansion given to you here with the crop, you say in your press release that, quote, lower utilizations may be partially offset by margin improvements in certain market segments. But the comment seemed a little more, obviously at the end of the day, we don't know, you know, you're guesstimating where it could be, but that seems a little more conservative than what you've said the potential could be in your stated comments. If you can just reconcile those two.
That's because my press releases are probably vetted a lot more by my legal than my comments are, Keith. So, no, I mean, joking aside, I mean, listen, I cannot reiterate enough, processing expertise and management expertise is necessary to navigate through an incident as significant as the weather event in Canada in 2010. Our ability to take, you know, technicians with two decades of experience in splitting products in our splitting factories will allow us to do things that other millers in the world have trouble with. You know, it will allow us to deliver products to other millers in the world, because don't forget, we don't just mill ourselves. We are a supplier to millers of the world. So we'll supply products that are suitable for their milling processes. And, you know, that will allow us to create margin opportunities. If you can take a lower grade product and you can slow down your process, increase the magnitude of certain processes that you're using, and create a higher grade product, then you ultimately have the ability, if you have depth of distribution channels, to create margin out of that. And that is the entire goal of what we are looking at today.
Perfect. And then just last question, just on the Q3, and again, obviously I understand the timing issues, just on the Q3, what was the majority of product you were moving through your facilities? Were you doing a lot of whole peas again?
You know what? No, we weren't. And that's why, as I said, you had a gross margin improvement from quarter to quarter. You know, it was a throughput issue, but the peas that we would have done, we would have still done some peas, but we would have had a return to split peas, lentils, you know, very limited stocks of chickpeas, some beans, pasta. You know, the pasta business performed as per our expectations this quarter. So, you know, things have continued. The Pulses platform was affected. That's the bottom line of where our results fell short. And that's been, of course, our biggest platform, and timing issues there have affected us.
Okay, thanks, Merit.
The next question comes from Rod Nickel of Reuters. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Nickel, go ahead, please.
Yeah, just a question about how you go from, in your consolidated financial statements, a quarterly net gain of $6.2 million or 31 cents a share to the adjusted net income of $730,000 or 4 cents a share.
We back out the non-cash foreign exchange adjustment. So each quarter we take a snapshot of our open FX contracts, AR, AP loans, and we mark them to market. So that forms part of our EBITDA, but we feel that it's a better picture to back that out and report an adjusted EBITDA number. So that's the difference.
So the one-time items are currency, not the weather problem?
Well, just hold on, though. Just remember, they're non-cash currency adjustments. So, you know, we report the earnings as stated, and then we report an adjusted earnings. I mean, you know, the analysts and our institutional investors have told us they want to see the actual, you know, earnings of the company from operations, not affected by non-cash FX issues. And non-cash FX are under GAAP and IFRS. We have to take the currency, you know, effects on our assets and liabilities and report them on a translated basis. So, you know, this is why we moved a quarter ago to an FX adjusted basis. So we have adjusted EBITDA, adjusted net income to be able to give more accurate picture.
So the best comparison then is likely the $4.5 million quarterly gain a year ago to the $6.2 million this time around.
You should be looking at adjusted net income to adjusted net income, yeah. Or adjusted EBITDA to adjusted EBITDA.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Next question comes from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Briar, go ahead, please.
Just I'm just trying to understand the current situation in the market right now. So for the lowest grade lentils that are out there right now, how eager are the farmers to sell at the prevailing prices on the very lower grade product?
You know what? The reality is, Anoop, what they have is what they have to market, and we've been out very actively, you know, stating that the window in the market exists today to realize the quality they have, to get a competitive price for that quality, and to get it moving before the Indian crop harvests in March, and before Australia comes into to effect. So, you know, from that perspective, we end up in a position where, you know, we do have farmers marketing, and you know, listen, as in anything, when you're expecting one grade and you end up with a weather event that gives you a grade that's two grades below where you expect it to get, you know, there's a bit of shock, there's a bit of anguish, there's a bit of, you know, disbelief. There's a shopping around period whereby they'll take their samples to a number of processors to try and gauge what the value of that product is. We're starting to get over those timing issues, and people are marketing, and you know, that's what we want. We need regular marketing for regular processing for a regular sales program to drive our utilization, and you know, we're seeing that over the past you know, few days and weeks.
And then with respect to your blending technology, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you have to run the product through the plant for an extended period of time to get the higher grade you're looking for. From your selling perspective, are your buyers stepping up to the prices you're asking for? I guess what I'm really trying to understand is, what is the evidence to date in this quarter that your blending technology actually does have the ability to make a significant difference? I'm not talking about historical, so understand my question. I'm talking about right here, right now.
Your question. I mean, for those of you who know the company, you know that we actually project profit and loss by sale. And, you know, we do have, you know, already results from October that that are giving us the basis for our comments. And, you know, frankly, it's a conversion analysis, Anoop. You buy it at one price, you convert it to a product either sorted or split or processed, and we know our costs of freight, and we know our selling price, and we hedge our FX, and we have EDC behind us, so we have a, you know, very good idea of estimated profit versus actual profit. Our variances in a normal, you know, operational standpoint are not significant. So, you know, we're quite confident in our current business model.
Okay, and then just one last question. On the higher G&A, you gave the breakdown in the MD&A, and you said there's commissions in there for $1.6 million. Can you just tell me, what does that commission relate to?
It's actually sales-related commissions, so it would be, you know, for, you know, marketing and sales expenses around the globe. We have a number of commissioned sales agents that are located throughout the world, and so as a result of that, those are the type of people that would be included in those. And that's the classification project. I mean, you can't change mid-year, Anoop, and have reference from past quarters. So the decision was made in quarter two, actually, that we would do a project to identify all the costs across all subsidiaries and all acquisitions and come up with a standardized grouping of what's at general admin, what's selling costs, and what's cost of sales. So you'll see that unveiled in the IFRS unveiling in quarter one of 2011.
Thank you.
The next question comes from David Pupo.
I think, for one more question, so this will be the last one.
Thank you.
Who was it from?
David Pupo of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Pupo.
So I'm a little confused on the timing issue, and the reason I'm confused is because if we look at supply year over year, but this year you consider a number of things. So the low percentage that are number one, number two, the percentage that's expected to go to feed by, call it the people out there that are making the estimates, the percentage that you would expect that you need for seed for next year is plantings, and the fact that your processing yield drops significantly, the throughput drops, in the end, would the supply not be of lentils not be significantly lower than last year? Therefore, there is a potential for an issue going into the beginning of the second quarter of 2011.
You have a couple of answers to that. I mean, if you're talking about output of product versus input, it's a different discussion.
Output of product.
Input into our factories is not necessarily affected by the conversion ratio of input product to output product. So, you know, we're saying that the product that exists in the market is largely in the class of extra three, number three, and there is a portion of feed. Now, don't get confused by one thing. Feed lentils, depending on why they are feed, many do not go to animal feed. They go for further processing. The category of feed is only a definition of product that has more than 10% damage. So that can be sprouted kernels, so kernels that were left in the field and that actually through water and sunshine started to grow again, versus frost damage, which those kernels would likely be lost entirely. So, you know, feed does not necessarily mean it's destined for animal feed.
No, that's understood. You're able to process it, but there was very little feed last year. So the year-over-year comp is bad on that percentage that expected to be called feed.
Yeah, I mean, last year the feed was actually feed because it was a very small percentage. This year we think that many of the category of extra three and feed, you know, will be marketable in some form. So, you know, I think, David, the answer to your question is with the significant increase in U.S. stocks, with the marketable nature of the Canadian crop, and with our view that there is the potential that the statistical reporting, you know, may be revised upwards, we think there will be ample stocks to process this year.
But what about the throughput? That's or the end product? That's the answer to the question. The answer to the earnings question is what comes out of the facility.
It's what comes out of the facility and at what margin.
Yeah.
So you can't just look at a fixed margin per ton, David. That's not the the proper way to look at it. And when you look at that, if we're talking about, as you quoted in your note this morning, the fluidity and the velocity of our facilities being affected, but then, quote, our margins can be enhanced as a result of our technologies. It's the interaction of those two factors that answer earnings, not just the output.
So is that enhanced year over year, or is that enhanced versus something else? I mean, what I'm getting at is...
I don't understand your question, David. Well, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, last year in the fourth quarter, you did 14% EBITDA margin. Is that attainable this year?
I think 14% EBITDA margin is attainable, and depending on the combination of products, you could see actually lower sales and even higher margins than 14%.
Okay, thanks.
This concludes the time for question and answer. I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thanks a lot. That brings us to the end of our questions today. I'd like to thank you all for joining us, and I'd like to remind everyone still on the call that if you do have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office. We'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, I'd like to thank you for attending our conference call and wish you all a good day. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.